been a lot of hard things the church has gone through over the last several years. We could just spend a time just having different people stand up and share some of the challenges that the Lord has placed before us. And the Lord is going to place before His disciples a very challenging thing in the next 24 hours. He's gathered them there the night before He goes to the cross. And He sets before them a sacrament, a means of grace, a blessing as we have before us tonight. And so I want to read you Luke chapter 22 through verse 14 through 20. Luke 22, 14 through 20. When the hour had come, He sat down, the 12 apostles with Him. Then He said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He took the cup and He gave thanks. And He said, take, this is, and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread and He gave thanks. And He broke it and He gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, He also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. R.D. Reed had gone out west to explore. I think I might have shared this story with some of you already. Some of you might not have heard it. But R.D. Reed came across some berries, some really perfectly ripe berries. And he was excited about them. And as he was eating a couple of them, he looked over the bush, and there's the grizzly bear. So Artie Reed's on this side and the grizzly bear's on that side, and he really liked those berries, and he didn't want to give them up to this bear. So he said, well, I'll throw a rock and try to distract him, and maybe that'll scare him off. I'll just throw a rock and he'll get spooked and he'll run off and I'll get to eat the berries. And so he takes a big rock and he throws it, and he's not a good thrower, and the bear just happens to look through the hole in the bush, and it hit him right in the nose. Hit the bear square in the nose, and the bear sees R.D. Reed, makes eye contact with him. And he just lets out this roar. Roar! And he rips through the bush, and R.D. Reed takes off running, and he runs and he jumps into a river, and the bear jumps into the river after him. And he swims across, and the bear swims across, and he goes, and he runs up the hill, and he gets on this tree, and he goes up this big tree, and the bear follows him up the tree. And he finally has to jump from that tree to another tree, and that bear jumps from that tree to the other tree. And he gets down from the tree, and he runs, and he comes to a cliff, and he's cornered. And R.D. Reed, being a Christian man, knows that prayer is important. And he said, what can I do but pray? I can jump the cliff or take the bear on. Either way, I lose. So he prays. And he didn't know what to pray. What do you pray when a grizzly bear is coming after you? And he said, oh, Lord, please help this bear be a Christian bear. Please, Lord, let this bear be a Christian bear. And the bear comes up to him and bows his head and says, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food I'm about to eat. Have you ever heard of a bear that prays grace? You just did, Renault. Have you ever wondered, I wish Charlie Thompson was doing a children's message tonight, and he'd ask the kids this question, why do we say grace? Why do we, every meal, I mean, maybe you don't do this, most of us probably do in this church. I've eaten with enough of y'all here to know that prayer is a part of our time of eating together. Why do we say grace? Why do we pray before we eat a meal? What would be your answer if somebody asked it? I would be curious what some of you kids would say. What would you say if Charlie Thompson asked you the question, why do we pray before a meal? R.L. Fair, you want to yell out something? Okay, so to be thankful for what He has provided, yes. Anybody else got the courage you want to answer that question? Well, that's what my mom and daddy did. We always have said grace. We've always had a part of that to say grace. Or maybe it's something like, I remember the times with my family where I didn't say grace or didn't thank the Lord for the food, and everybody goes, ooh, ho, ho, like something bad was going to happen to me. Like maybe out of superstition. Well, I think that's a good answer that Ella Fair gave us, that to be thankful to God, to acknowledge God when we pray and thank Him. We say, God, thank You for what You've provided. This is from Your hands, and You're acknowledging. There's a humbling aspect of praying, right? I remember one time eating at a family's house, and we were thanking the woman for all the hard work she did to cook the meal. And we're like, thank you, it's such a good meal. And the dad at the end of the table said, well, I paid for it. Why don't you thank me? She couldn't have had any food to cook if I didn't pay for it. So we thank Tip too. Thank you so much. But there's a humbling thing when we pray. We're acknowledging that this doesn't come from our hands. Even if my money paid for it that I earned, the money that I got was God's provision for me. The job was God's provision for me. The fact that I was breathing and able to do work is God's provision for me. So there's a humbling aspect to saying grace. There's that heart of gratitude, which Ella Fair spoke about, this thankfulness when we say a prayer. There's an evangelistic aspect of it, right? Have you ever noticed when a waitress comes up to you, if your family is praying, sometimes they're surprised, maybe not in this area as much as other areas. If you did it up in New England, 2% Christians there, they'd think you were strange praying before your meal. So there's an evangelist. There's a sanctifying aspect about it. It kind of grows us spiritually, reminds us of our needs for Him spiritually. But you ever thought of it, we pray to be like Jesus? Jesus said a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of thankfulness to the Heavenly Father. He modeled submission, even though He's one of three of the persons of the Godhead. He's been attributed creation to His hands. Everything was made by Him, through Him, and for Him. We pray because that's what Jesus did. We're going to look at that today. We're going to look at that in our short time together tonight. We're going to look at why is Jesus praying here, this prayer of thanksgiving. And just a little side note about this is when you read the accounts, there's four gospel accounts, and all four gospel accounts has the Lord's Supper in it. That's not the case with every story in the gospel accounts. Sometimes Mark will tell a story of what Jesus did, and it might not be included in another one. But in every story, it uses two different words when Jesus blessed the cup. It said, Jesus blessed the cup. But before it says, Jesus gave thanks for the bread. And they're two different words. One is eulogio, which means I bless, eulogio is the best way. Good words. I'm saying good words. I speak good words about something here. I'm blessing this. Lord, bless this. Bless this meal to strengthen me. The other word is eucharis. That's where we got Charis's names in there. Eucharistio, which means to give thanks, joyful thanksgiving, heartfelt, overflowing gratitude. So Jesus is modeling this, and you'll notice in the different accounts they do that, but these words kind of mean the same thing. What Jesus is doing is He's praying for these foods. He's saying, oh Lord, bless this meal, strengthen us with this bread and this cup, Father, and then also, I'm so thankful for it. Now think about Him saying those things. What is He actually praying over? My wife pointed this out to me years ago. Grew up in the church, always. But what is Jesus actually praying? What is He thanking the Lord for in reality here when He thanks the Lord for the sacrament of the Lord's table? What is He thanking Him for? A good hearty meal? What? His crucifixion. Our Savior is saying grace, and He's thanking the Father for His crucifixion, His suffering. The shadow, the Lord's Supper is a shadow of His suffering. That ought to blow our minds. That ought to redefine prayer. Jesus is giving us a prayer of thanksgiving for His going to the cross. This is My body. This is My blood. It's amazing. It's moving. I got goosebumps just saying that from this pulpit. So why did Jesus say grace? We've already hit on the first point. The first point is an example to us. Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. He's saying, I want y'all to do this. I think we ought to prayerfully consider this church. Should we do it more than we do it? We'll pray that the Lord will lead us. Should we do it more than we do it? Do it 5 times a year. Okay? Some churches do it every week. And there are arguments why you shouldn't do it every week. Arguments why 5 times is good. I'm just saying we ought to pray about it. We ought to always pray. Lord, are we doing your sacraments right? Are we doing them enough? Are we putting them before the church enough? Pray for the leadership of the church. Pray for me and the elders as we wrestle with this from time to time. Do we need to do it more? Well, Jesus is giving us an example of the Lord's Supper. He's saying, this is my supper, and I want you to do this. And as often as you do this, I want you to do it in remembrance of me. It's an example. He's laying down how he wants the church to obey him in this area. He gives us 2 sacraments to obey him. 2. There's some churches think there's 10. There's only 2 that Jesus institutes. That's what a sacrament is, what Jesus institutes for his church as a means of grace. It is the Lord's Supper, and it's what? Baptism. Baptism. And they're means of grace for his church. They're strengthening, they're empowering, they're conduit of his power. He's laying down what he wants the church to, how he wants us to administer the Lord's Supper. And he's saying, when you have the Lord's Supper, I want you to thank the Father for it. And I want you to say blessings over it. I want you to say, Lord, bless this Lord's Supper. And I want there to be a heart of gratitude for this supper. You'll notice that when I administer the Lord's Supper, I will pray after the bread. I will pray after the juice. Because that's what Jesus did. There's some churches that are starting to do it a little differently. I'm saying, I'm not going to stray from the way Jesus did. He did the bread separate, and he did the juice separate. I'm not going to put them together. I'm going to do it just like Jesus instituted for me. Just like the Apostle Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote about it. So he did it as an example to us. But he also prayed as an example to us. So why did Jesus pray a prayer of thanksgiving? As an example to us. He wants us to pray. Why do we pray before a meal? Well, I think hopefully we'll say, because that's what Jesus did. He prayed before the Passover. He prayed before the bread. He prayed for the cup. That's what Jesus did. That's what I'm going to do. And I want to do it like Jesus did it. I want to ask God to strengthen me through his provisions. And I want to ask him to, I want to have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. He models that. So he's done it as an example to us, but he also is the example as a heart of spirit of gratitude. It's amazing. I've already hit it. I probably said it earlier than I wanted to. But Jesus prayed for his suffering, that God would bless his suffering, and he thanked the Father for it. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus also agonized over what he was about to experience. I'm not trying to teach you that when you go through something hard or some suffering for the Christ, that you're just saying, I'm thank you, Lord. You're awesome. Thank you. We are to have a heart of gratitude for what he's provided for us. But we also can cry out. Jesus did 3 times as he prayed over the cup of wrath, the cup of wrath that he was going to drink from. He wept, sweated blood out of his pores. He didn't just say, I'll suck it up. He felt the weight of what he was about to endure. God's okay with us feeling the weight of what's going on in our life, but there needs to be a heart of gratitude and say, God bless it. What I've learned from my issue with Karis for the last month is there are a lot of people who have it worse than I do. There are a lot of people going through a lot more difficult thing than what we're going through. You couldn't walk the hallways of the hospital. You couldn't walk the rehab hall without not looking in the room and seeing the loneliness and the discouragement and the pain and the suffering and the impending death for some people. And you know, we can have that Jesus example of a heart of gratitude. We're still on point number one, but this heart of gratitude because of the fact that God is in control of our life. And he says, I'm going to work it for good. I'm going to work all things for good to those who love me and are called according to my purpose. You know, that I told y'all before, it's my dad's life verse. Lost his mom when he was 3. Lost his dad when he was 16. His life verse. was, I'm going to cling to God, is going to work this for good. And you know what? He can attest to how God did it. It brought him to salvation. It brought his 8 kids to salvation. It brought many of his grandkids to salvation. He's an example to us in this prayer, not only because of the fact that he has shown us how the sacrament is to look, and he's shown us a heart and a spirit of attitude and of gratitude, even in his own suffering. He gives us this aspect of, I'm showing you what submission looks like. I'm showing you what submission looks like. I am equal with the Father, but I am going to model to you what submission looks like. Isn't that what Philippians 2 is all about when it talks about, let that your heart be that of Christ Jesus, who became nothing for us? Jesus is that example to give thanks in all circumstances, isn't he? He's given thanks over his crucifixion. He's given thanks over the fact that he's going to endure the wrath of the Father for all our wicked sins. He's going to suffer hell for us. He's going to have the Father turn his back away from him. And he's saying, thank you, Father. Bless it and use it for good. The second point is, he prays this prayer of thanksgiving because of his disciples and his love for his disciples. He loves his disciples. Look at this verse. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He truly, sincerely loves his weak, frail, rebellious disciples. He says, this is my body given to you. And we know that these words are for his disciples and his love for his disciples, but we know that we're part of that disorder too, because he wants the church and his disciples to keep doing it until he returns. My blood was shed for you. So he's praying this heart of gratitude because of his love for us. His love for his disciples, his love for his followers. See, Jesus went fully knowing what he was going to experience on the cross. That's why he suffered so much in the garden in his prayers. That's why he's saying, he says in this passage, before I suffer, in verse 15, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He didn't go in like, oops, how did this happen? How did I end up here? I didn't see this coming. He knew fully what he was going. Maybe you've heard me say before, and I've heard other pastors say this, that it was God the Father put before Jesus clearly what he revealed to Jesus clearly what he was going to suffer on our behalf. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I want you to love one another like I've loved you. We see his love in his prayers. When he prays before the cross, he prays, oh Father, make them be one like me and you were one with each other. We see it in his promises where he says from the cross, he prays his prayers on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. We see it in his promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he will send a helper to comfort us and to help us through it. Jesus prayed the prayer of thanksgiving not only as an example to us because of his great love for us. The third point in this text is because it was not the end, he prayed the prayer of thanksgiving. You notice when we do the Apostles' Creed, we don't say, I believe you suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Over. What did he say next? He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the quick and the dead. One day he will return and rule when he comes again. See, he knew as he was praying this prayer of thanksgiving and his suffering awaited him within 24 hours, he was going to suffer on the cross. Within 12 hours, he was going to suffer on the cross, or a little bit more than 12 hours. But he's praying for them because he knows how it ends. That we know how it ends. Don't we? Brothers and sisters in Christ who've studied the Bible, who've heard it preached, we know how it's going to end. And we see all the hard things before us, and we see all the challenges before us, and we go, oh, how am I going to get through this? We see the end. Jesus' crucifixion was not the end of the story. For the disciples, it was the beginning, wasn't it? The crucifixion of Christ was when, what's going on? What's going on? The resurrection of Christ was, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit coming upon them. It was the beginning there for them. It is for us too. Although he came to die, he also reigns. Today he reigns, he lives, and he will return. This was the beginning when he said, this is the supper, this is the shadow of what's going to come. This is the beginning of why I came. The last point is this, the fourth point. He came, he prays this prayer of thanksgiving because he's an example to us, because he loved his disciples, because it was not the end, but because it was what he was born to do. He's thanking the Father for what God placed him on this earth to do. See, when we don't gather around a manger. That's a wonderful part of the story that we celebrate each Christmas. We don't gather around a manger and praise the Lord. You know, well, we praise him for the coming of the but we don't, that's our salvation's not the manger. We gather around the cross. It's what he was called to be. In John 12, well, in Luke 19:10, he says, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In John 12:27, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. In John 18:37, he spoke to Pilate and he said, Pilate asked him, are you king? You say that I'm king. For this end I was born. He's praying a prayer of thanksgiving as an example to us. He's praying a prayer of thanksgiving for out of his love for his disciples. He's praying a prayer of thanksgiving because it's not the end of the story. He's praying because it's what he was born to do. It's why he came. He came to die on the cross for his people. He came to die for our sins. There's no hope for us if he didn't come for that purpose. If Jesus would have just come and lived a perfect life and obeyed the law perfectly and just ascended into heaven, which he could have done, there'd be no hope for us. But he was thanking the Lord as he was presenting them the Lord's table. He's saying, this is what I came to do. These 30 years of being on this earth, this enduring all the garbage that I had to endure on what I'm about to face is why I came. And he's making that clear to his followers. So what are we to do with this in closing? What's the application? How do we apply this? Boy, it should transform the way we say grace. I used to thought, God is good, God is great, thank him for the food I ate. Because I'd always forget to pray early or something when I was young, and that was like a joke to me. It was funny to me. And sometimes I'll look at prayers like, please don't be a long prayer. I just want to eat this food. I want to eat this food. Why do we say grace? We're to say grace to model the example of our Savior to others, to demonstrate a heart of gratitude for what God has provided, to give him all the credit, not take any credit, not my money paid for it, give him all the credit, to model a heart of submission when we pray, to pray because we love Jesus and he died on the cross for our sins, and it's why this week is so special for us, because it's the beginning of his people redeemed and saved from all their sins. It's what the Old Testament looked forward to, and it's what we look back to as the transforming work of Christ on the cross, fulfilling all the promises. We're to pray because it's not the end for us. The end is for eternity with our Savior, that he's preparing that place for us, and he goes and he intercedes for us and he prays for us, and one day all the pain, all the suffering, all the hurt, all the tragedy that we're dealing with is gone away. And it's because what we're called to do, it's what we're made to do, it's what we were born to do. And so as we gather around the Lord's table, let's give thanks. Jesus gave thanks before so many, not just the Eucharist, not just before the Lord's Supper. He gave thanks before he fed the 5,000. He gave thanks before he fed the 4,000. Every time Jesus gave thanks, big things happened. Mighty things happened. And he's given us that gift of prayer. This heart of gratitude, this prayer of thanksgiving is the footsteps to blessings. Our prayers should be predominantly prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. For our Savior has done great things. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this text. I thank you for Jesus' example to us. Thank you for his love for us. Father, we thank you for the fact that his crucifixion on the cross, what this bread and blood represents, our salvation, is it doesn't end there. For the resurrection comes on Sunday. And we look forward to that day as tomorrow we have a day where we reflect on Christ on the cross and the reality of what this portrays here before us. Oh, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us this week and the weeks to come for your service. In Jesus' name, amen.